نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فمن أظلم ممن كذب على الله وكذب بالصدق إذ جاءه أليس في جهنم مثوى للكافرين والذي جاء بالصدق وصدق به أولئك هم المتقون لهم ما يشاءون عند ربهم ذلك جزاء المحسنين. Then who does more wrong than one who utters a lie against Allah and denies the truth when it comes to him? Is there not in hell an abode for the disbelievers? And he who has brought the truth and believed therein, those are the Allah conscious. They shall have all that they will desire with their Lord. That is the reward of those who do beautiful deeds, so that Allah may expiate from them the evil of what they did and give them the reward according to the best of what they used to do. We find in Ayah 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts amongst the worst of mankind the person who utters a lie against Allah and denies the truth when it comes to him. And Allah says that hell is an abode for the disbelievers. The word kafirin here is most significant because kafirin comes from kafara, which means to cover up, to hide. So a kafir is one who is hiding or is suppressing his inner recognition of the truth even when it comes to him. On the other end of the spectrum, Allah says, those who bring the truth, that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who brought the truth, and those who accept this truth, those who confirm this truth, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ, such are the Allah conscious. And what lies in store for them, they shall have all that they will desire with their Lord. And that is the reward of al-muhsineen, ihsan, the level of perfection which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ, when you worship Allah as if you can actually see Him. What lies in store for the muhsineen, for those who do their good deeds? At the level of perfection, Allah says, so that Allah may expiate from them the evil of what they did. And this is very encouraging. They're not angels, they're not supernatural beings. They are ordinary human beings, and therefore they are prone to errors, they are prone to mistakes. But Allah says, in recompense for their ihsan, for their perfection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them their evil deeds. As we learn elsewhere in the Quran, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, indeed good deeds wipe out evil deeds. And Allah goes on to say that He shall reward them according to the best of what they used to do. أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا, is not Allah sufficient for His slave? Yet they try to frighten you with those besides Him, and whom Allah sends astray, for Him there will be no guide. What is it that keeps us from turning to the level of perfection? What is it that keeps us from obeying Allah in all situations in our life? Fear of people, fear of losing the dunya, and countless other fears and insecurities. So here Allah reassures us, is not Allah enough for His slave? Once we turn to Allah, once we cling onto that firm handhold, Allah reassures us that He will be enough for us in all times of need. And Allah says, they try to frighten you with those besides Him. People say, what will people say? What will society think of you? People will laugh at you. But here Allah is telling us, and whom Allah sends astray, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ, for him there will be no guide. People who are determined to live their life in darknesses, Allah will not force His light upon them. وَمَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُضِلٍّ, whomsoever Allah guides, for him there will be none to mislead. Is not Allah Almighty, possessor of retribution? Now Allah doesn't say He's Ghafoor or Rahim over here. He describes Himself by those attributes elsewhere. But here Allah says He is Almighty. He is the owner of retribution. When we disobey Allah, whether for our friend's sake or for our own nafs' sake, what do we placate our nafs with? What do we appease our conscience with? Allah is Ghafoor or Rahim. Allah says, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِعَزِيزٍ, is not Allah Almighty? He has the power to punish you. ذُنْتِقَام, the one of retribution. For one who angers Allah, Allah will punish him. And if you ask these people, who created the heavens and the earth? Surely they will say Allah. Say, tell me then, the things that you call to besides Allah, if Allah intended some harm for me, could they remove His harm? Is it worthwhile that we disobey Allah so we can please our friends? Could our friends help us? Could they harm us? Or if Allah intended some mercy for me, could they withhold His mercy? Say, Hasbi Allah, Allah is enough for me. The answer to the question in Ayah 36, Alaysa Allahu bikafin abda, is not Allah enough for His slave? No, not for mankind, for His slave. That's the relationship between us and Allah, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we recognize it or not. See, a slave cannot ask his master the reason for the laws. The slave has to obey unquestioningly, completely, implicitly. So Allah answers that question. Tell them, Hasbi Allah. Allah is enough for me. I don't need your praise. I don't need your admiration. Allah is enough for me. عليه يتوكل المتوكلون. Let those who trust put their trust in Him. The Prophet ﷺ once said, the gist of which was, whoever wants to be the strongest of people, he should trust in Allah. Whoever wants to be the richest of people, he should rely on what is with Allah. In other words, not, you know, go by the superficial wealth that he might possess, but know that whatever he has or can have will come from Allah. And whoever wants to be the most respected amongst people, he should fear Allah. Now three things are mentioned in this hadith. Things that we all yearn for, we all strive for. We all want to be strong, we all want to be rich, and we all want respect. What is Allah telling us? إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. All honor, all glory, all power belongs to Allah. Seek honor with Allah, not with people. In Him those who put their trust, let them put their trust. قُلْ يَا قَوْمِي. Say to them, O my people, work according to your way. I am working according to my way. فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Then you will come to know on whom comes a humiliating torment and on whom descends an everlasting torment. Again and again we told, we cannot force this message down anyone's throat. لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ. There is no compulsion in religion. But we have to convey. And after we have conveyed, then the choice is theirs. Allah says, tell them that soon you will come to know. Don't engage in endless debates about who is in the right and who is doing something that's wrong. Just tell them the truth and that's enough. Inna anzalna alayka al-kitaba lin-nasi bil-haq. Indeed, we have sent down to you this book for mankind. It's not just come for us that we selfishly keep it to ourselves and read the Quran and act upon the Quran and think, oh, Allah really loves me. The Prophet ﷺ told us, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. None of you can have true iman until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Not that we do da'wah in a half-hearted way and say, oh, thank God I've done my duty, that we care about their welfare. That's why look at the Prophet ﷺ. Again and again Allah tells him, don't kill yourself in grief over these people. If they're not accepting the truth, then you've done your part of the job. So Allah reminds us, indeed it is we who have sent down to you the book for mankind. Bil haq, with truth, with justice, it's come for a purpose. فَمَنِ اِسْتَدَى فَلِنَفْسِهِ. So whosoever accepts the guidance, it is only for his own self. Don't think you're doing Allah any great favor by studying the Quran. If we are studying the Quran, if we are trying to act upon it, we're doing it for our own salvation. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. And whoever goes astray, loses the path, he goes astray only for his own loss. It makes no difference to Allah. وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. And you are not to dispose of affairs over them. لَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. You won't be asked about what people used to do. We will be asked simply whether we conveyed or not. اللَّهُ يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنفُسَ حِينَ مَوْتِهَا وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا. It is Allah who takes away the souls at the time of their death and those that do not die during their sleep. He keeps those souls for which He has ordained death and sends the rest for a term appointed. Indeed, in this are signs for a people who reflect. Now what's the link between the verses? That one minute Allah is speaking about the Quranic revelation and Allah saying that whoever accepts guidance, it's for his own good. Allah is reminding us that we who keep on putting off the Quran, we who keep on delaying obeying the Quran, I've got lots of time, not yet, let me have some more fun, let me raise my children, let me concentrate on my job. Allah says, just think about how much time you have left. Do we know how much time we have left? It is Allah who takes away the souls at the time of their death. We won't be asked, are you ready to go or not? At that time, one shout, one cry, the angel of death appears and that's it. End of story. It is Allah who takes away the souls at the time of their death. This choice doesn't rest with us that I can decide when I wish to go back to Allah. And those that do not die during their sleep. See, even our sleep symbolizes our death. Sleep during which our senses are temporarily suspended. Thus we find that before sleeping, the Prophet ﷺ told us that we should ask Allah's forgiveness. We should remember Allah before we go to sleep. Because we don't know which of us will wake up and which of us will not. And in the same way that we should make a preparation for death. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ. There are many signs in this. لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. For a people who reflect, for a people who have taken time out to contemplate the words of Allah. Have they taken others as intercessors besides Allah? Is this what's deluding people? Is this what's keeping them back from obeying Allah? That no, I have nothing to worry about. The Prophet ﷺ will intercede for me. Or my father was very good and he reads the Quran every day, so he will take me with him into Jannah. Have they taken others as intercessors besides Allah? See how incredulously Allah asks. Say, even if they have power over nothing whatever, وَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ, and they have no intelligence. People who worship stone idols, people who do shirk in the category that they're worshipping that which is not even living. Allah says, can these people help you? Can these idols help you with Allah? قُلْ لِلَّهِ الشَّفَاعَةُ جَمِيعًا. Tell them, to Allah belongs all intercession. What is the reality of intercession in Islam? We know that intercession exists. It will be granted as an honor to certain people whom Allah chooses, such as the Prophet ﷺ. Such as certain martyrs, such as certain people who've memorized the Quran. But this permission will only be granted on behalf of one whom Allah allows. So the message is clear. Allah alone is Maliki al-Middin. We who erroneously think that, oh, do what you will and just run to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are many naats in which this is basically the subject matter. That run to Muhammad and he will save you from Allah. Na'uzubillah. Tell them so that they are removed from this delusion. To Allah belongs all intercession. So seek to please Allah. His is the sovereignty of the heavens and the earth. And it follows logically. When he is Rabbul Alameen, why should he grant this authority to anyone else but himself? When he is Rabbul Alameen, when he is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, it follows logically that he alone can be Maliki Yawmiddin. He who is acquainted with the secrets of our hearts, he alone is best capable of judging which is worthy of forgiveness, which can be interceded for, and which deserves the punishment. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And you're all going back to him. Whether you're relying upon someone's intercession, or you know that only Allah can help you, the journey is to Allah. And when Allah alone is mentioned, the hearts of those who do not believe in the hereafter are filled with disgust. And when those whom they worship besides him are mentioned, behold, they rejoice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that when people who worship others besides Allah, whether peers or buzurgs or prophets or angels, when they hear mention of only Allah, they can't stand it. It bothers them because they're not content to worship only Allah. They don't believe that only Allah can answer their du'as, so they've created intermediaries for themselves. And Allah says that when their deities, their false deities, whether the prophets or the buzurgs or the peers or the saints are mentioned, behold, they rejoice. Say, Allahumma fatir as-samawati wal-ard. Say, O Allah, creator of the heavens and the earth. Look at the words Allah uses, designed to make us think. Has anyone else created the heavens and the earth? Whether angels or the prophets or the saints or the scholars? No. O Allah, creator of the heavens and the earth, all know of the unseen and the seen. Qualities that are unique to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He alone is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He alone is the all know of the unseen and the seen. Pray to Allah, you will judge between your slaves about that wherein they used to differ. And those who did wrong, if they had all that is in earth, and therewith as much again, they would offer it to ransom themselves therewith on the day of judgment from the evil torment. See, in this worldly life, we've created many props for ourselves. So if I'm in trouble, I'll ring up a friend or I'll ring up an influential source. If that doesn't work, I'll simply bribe the person or, you know, make a deal with them. Man's nature doesn't change. When he sees that intercessors have failed him, what will he try to do? If they had all that is in the earth and therewith as much again, now just imagine what a huge amount. Indeed, they would offer it to ransom themselves therewith on the day of judgment from the evil torment. And Allah says, there will become apparent to them from Allah what they had not been reckoning. Man will still try and save himself any which way he can. And the evils of that which they earned will become apparent to them. The Prophet ﷺ once told Hazrat Aisha, O Aisha, do not trivialize small sins. Oh, it's just a small white lie. It's just a piece of harmless gossip. And he said, don't trivialize small sins, because they collect upon a man until they destroy him. A scholar once said that the mu'min sees his sins like a mountain that he is afraid will descend upon him. Is that how we see our sins? We forget our sins after sinning. The next minute we've forgotten the lie we spoke. And the scholar went on to say, and the wicked person, the sinner, the one who enjoys himself all the time, he sees his sins as flies that he just brushes away. Oh, Allah's not going to ask me about that. Allah's Ghafoorur Rahim. So Allah says, the evils of that which they earn will become apparent to them. No more self-deception. And that which they used to mock at will encompass them. When harm touches man, he calls to us for help. Then when we have rescued him from that harm and changed it into a favor from us, قَالَ إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ He says, only because of knowledge that I possess, I obtained it. بَلْ هِيَ فِتْنَةٌ It is a trial. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ It is all a trial, but most of them do not have knowledge. Now this is what we do as well, isn't it? That when we're in trouble, we say, oh, Allah's testing me and Allah's raising my degrees and Allah's cleansing me. And the minute the problem is over, we say, see, if I hadn't been so smart, I would still be in that problem. And we say, see, Allah rewarded me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at man. At times of stress, he turns to Allah. He says, this problem has come from Allah. But when that problem is turned into a blessing, he starts congratulating himself on his own intelligence. And he says, this has happened because of knowledge that I possess. بَلْ هِيَ فِتْنَةٌ It is all a test. What does Allah tell us in the Quran? نَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةٌ We test you by means of evil and by means of good. We don't think of that wealth as a test. We don't think of those blessings as a trial. But Allah says it's all a test to see whether you're doing shukr or sabr. Indeed, those before them said it. Yet all that they had earned did not help them. So the evil results of that which they earned overtook them. And those who did wrong of these will also be overtaken by the evil results for that which they earned. وَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ They will never be able to escape. أَوَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا Do they still not know that Allah enlarges the provision for whom He wills and He straightens it for whom He wills? إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ Indeed, in this are signs for a people who have iman. This is a beautiful ayat. Allah says, O man, have you never reflected upon the fact that whether you're going through wealth or poverty, it's a test from Allah? See, this is the vision of the mu'min, that whether he is suffering and he's lost everything like Ayyub alayhi salam, he is still doing sabr. Or he is like Sulaiman alayhi salam and he has everything, he is still doing shukr. هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي This is by the grace of my Lord. لِيَبْلُوَنِي So he can test me. أَشْكُرْ أَمَكْفُرْ Whether I thank him or I'm ungrateful. So Allah says, don't you realize that whether you have a lot of risk or you have little risk, it's a test. But the signs in this are for a people who have iman. Only someone with iman understands it. Because a hypocrite will just start blaming and lamenting his misfortune if he's suffering. And he has become complacent if he is not suffering. Allah says, "Inna fi dhalika la ayat." This is something deep. It's something profound that only people with iman can understand. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. سبحان الله. Say, O my slaves, this is Allah speaking to us, who have wronged themselves, who have transgressed against themselves. Think of all the sins we've done, all the times we've angered Allah, knowingly or unknowingly. Allah is speaking to us. What is He telling us? That there's no going back, that we're all going to hell? No. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah forgives all sins. See, we love to adopt this attitude of apathy and say, oh well, what's the good of turning to Allah now? And I've sinned too much and too much water has passed under the bridge and might as well be hung for a sheep as for a lamb. Allah says, no. Why this despair? Allah forgives all sins. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He is the most forgiving. He is the repeatedly merciful. According to a beautiful hadith Qudsi, Allah has said, O son of Adam, so long as you call upon me and ask of me, I shall forgive you what you have done, and I shall not care. O son of Adam, though your sins reach the clouds in the sky, if you were then to ask for my forgiveness, I would forgive you. O son of Adam, were you to come to me with sins almost as great as the earth itself and then face me, ascribing to me no partner, I would bring you forgiveness in like measure. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He alone is the most forgiving, the repeatedly merciful. See, what's the most unselfish, the most loving relationship we find in this world between human beings? A mother and her child. But even a mother will reach a stage beyond which she is not going to endure the child's disobedience. There will come a time if the child goes on disobeying, goes on angering the mother, that the mother will say, that's it, I'm not going to forgive you. Allah reminds us, only Allah, Al-Ghafoor Rahim, the most forgiving, the repeatedly merciful. Is that all it takes to read this ayat? No, there's something we have to do as well. وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Turn towards your Lord. وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ. And surrender before Him. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابِ. Before the torment comes upon you, then you will not be helped. It's not that Allah is saying, oh, do what you like and I'll forgive you all your sins. Allah says, turn to me. At least ask me for forgiveness. Now how do we ask Allah for forgiveness? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Toba, toba, I shouldn't say this, and we go ahead and say it anyway. That's not istighfar. It's a mockery of repentance. Allah says, turn towards your Lord, your Creator, your Nourisher, your Sustainer. وَأَسْلِمُوا. And surrender. Not that we say astaghfar and go on doing what we wish to do. Tawbah means that you take a pact with Allah, never again. And if we make that mistake again out of human weakness, then we turn to Allah again and again. أَسْلِمُوا. Surrender. Submit. اُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. Enter into Islam fully. What are you waiting for? Do this now before the torment comes to you. Then you will not be helped. What did Fir'aun say when he saw the waters engulfing him? Now I believe in the Lord of Musa. Now I repent. Was his repentance accepted? No. Allah says, submit to Him. Before the torment comes upon you, and then you will not be helped. Is that all? That we surrender to Allah? How do we surrender to Allah? وَاتَّبِعُوا أَحْسَنَ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. And follow the best of that which is revealed to you from your Lord. Now this is most interesting. Allah doesn't say, and recite the best of that which is revealed to you, or read the best of that which is revealed to you. Follow the best of that which is revealed to you. In other words, don't just pay lip service and say, oh, I'm feeling so terrible and, you know, may Allah forgive me and cry before Allah and go on doing what you were doing. Aslimu, surrender. How do we surrender? By following this Quran. Why? What's the urgency? مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ بَغْتًا. Before the torment comes upon you, suddenly, unexpectedly, one heart attack, one car accident, and we could return to Allah. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. And you don't even realize. أَمْ تَقُولَ نَفْسٌ يَا حَسْرَةً. Lest a person should say, alas, my grief that I was undutiful to Allah. And I was indeed among those who mocked. Now Allah says nafsun here. Not male or female or Muslim or non-Muslim or sinner or saint. Nafsun. So Allah is saying, think about it. Could we be amongst those people, God forbid? That when we see the angel of death and we say, oh no, no more chances. I wish that I hadn't wasted my time. I wish that I had turned to Allah while I had the time, while I had the chance, while I had the health, while I had that wealth. I wish I had done something for Allah. And I was indeed among those who mocked. Don't be such a fundo. This is fanaticism. Islam teaches moderation. People who want to disobey Allah always say this. Islam teaches moderation. In other words, do what you like, Allah will forgive you. I was indeed among those who mocked. Autakula. Or maybe he should say, if only Allah had guided me, I would be amongst the Allah conscious. See, different people respond differently. So one will be blaming himself and one will be saying, if only Allah had guided me, I would have been among the Allah conscious. Or lest he should say, when he sees the torment, if only I had another chance, then I should be among the muhsineen. Now muhsineen is the highest degree, the highest rank of believers. Maybe we too will regret, if only I had read Tarawees. If only I had read the Quran throughout the year instead of just in Ramzan. If only I had obeyed Allah all the time instead of just occasionally. I would have been amongst those who did Ihsan. Now let's think about it. What will Allah say to such people? Doesn't matter. I'll forgive you. I'm Ghafoor Rahim. No. The chance for earning His forgiveness is now in this life. Bala, Allah will say indeed. And His word is implacable, does not change. Qad ja'aka ayati, my signs came to you. My signs. What are Allah's signs? This Quran, the signs in the universe, the signs that we find in all that Allah has created for us. My signs. This Quran that we dismiss, this Quran that we've made into magic words, Allah is saying, not the Quran came to you, my signs came to you. What happened? And you denied them. You didn't have time for the Quran. You weren't ready for the Quran. You were bored by the Quran. You were frightened by the Quran. So what happened? Wastakbarta. You became arrogant. I don't need to read this. I don't need to act upon it. I'm a good person. I'm serving mankind. I don't need to follow this Quran. وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And you became from among the disbelievers. Now we say, well, we're not the kafirs. What was the satanic kufr? He didn't say, I don't believe in Allah. He said, I'm not going to obey Allah because it doesn't make sense to me. I'm better than Adam. Why should I bow down before Adam? One moment of arrogance before Allah, kunta min al-kafirin. That's all it takes. And you became from among the disbelievers. Kafir is one who's covering up the truth, who's negating his own fitrah to obey Allah. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And now we're here on the day of judgment. It's too late. No more chances for those prayers. No more chances for those fasts, for those vows of obedience we took, but we never had time to fulfill. And on the day of judgment, you will see those who lied against Allah. How do we lie against Allah? By dismissing deen. It's not going to happen. Come on, Allah will forgive us. You will see those who lied against Allah. Mistaken concepts about Allah. Their faces will be black. I've mentioned earlier that our spiritual condition in this world is our physical condition in the hereafter. If our inner self is dark with constant hatred and disobedience and arrogance, then that's the way our appearance will be on that day. أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًى لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Now we get to know the truth. Is there not in hell an abode for the arrogant? Not for the non-Muslim, for the arrogant. And Allah will save those who are Allah conscious to their places of success. Evil won't even touch them. No terror, no fright, nothing but peace. Nor shall they grieve for any who might have gone to hell.